Romans chapter 11. The title of my message tonight is, Their Table Made a Snare. Their table made a snare. Those that are put in Christ before time, those that are set apart by the Father, they're purchased by the Son, they have a table of joy and a table of peace before them. That's what David wrote us in Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, a table of goodness and mercy. It's a table that the believer has set before them. But those outside of Christ, it's a table that they have set for themselves. There's no good in it. There's no mercy to be found on that table. Because they're not allowed to look themselves, and they do not, the Lord allowed them to look to themselves, and they do not have their eyes set upon Christ. It's a table of destruction. So our text there in Romans 11, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 10 tonight. Paul writes there in Romans 11, 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. As David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. That means be weighted down. Heavy burdens bent over. Now Paul starts our text this evening here with what then? There in verse 7. He's continuing what he just told us about in the first 6 verses. It's the same thought. He starts in verse 1, has God forsaken his people? Has he cast his people away? And he says, God forbid. Absolutely not. That physical nation of Israel, a political nation, they've been cast aside. They've been burnt down. How then has God not forsaken his people? His spiritual Israel are the ones that's not forsaken. His spiritual Israel are the ones that he foreknew. They were loved before in Christ from eternity. Anytime the Lord makes a spiritual covenant, he makes a spiritual promise to Israel, it's always the spiritual Israel. Not that physical nation. And then he uses the words of Elijah praying to the Lord. He says, Lord, they killed your prophets. They threw down the altars. I'm the only one left. And they're out to get me. They're going to try to kill me. Lord, take me now. What does our Lord say to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. And that physical nation, just as in our physical nation today, the Lord has reserved to himself a remnant that does not bow to false gods, but honors and praises the true and living God, Christ Jesus our Lord. He's reserved himself that people. Now, why did those 7,000 that Paul mentioned, that remnant then, and that remnant in Paul's day, and the remnant today, why does that remnant only bow to the Lord our God? It's by his sovereign act of grace in saving of his people through Christ's person and his work. That's the only reason that we don't bow. People say, I won't cave. You won't cave till you cave. You won't bow the knee to the Lord until he makes you. There in verse 5, Romans 11, 5 says, even though at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace, God electing a people in Christ before the world was formed is an act of grace. Election is an act of grace. It's an act of unmerited favor to an undeserving people. It is the Lord reserving to himself a people. That's what that is. It's his work of grace and not a work of man. We ain't got a part in it. Now, to understand election, God choosing, God reserving, him making his people like Christ. If you understand those things, what they mean, but why that had to happen. why I had to be made like him, why I had to be chosen. The choosing wasn't left up to me. If you understand that, why it's necessary, you always see that it's for the Lord's people's benefit and for the Lord's glory. That's a wonderful thing. It's not something to frown at and squint and cover your ears. Well, that's hope. The Lord chose a people. His grace is gracious. That oversimplified. I tried to dwell on that a good half hour today. His grace is gracious. Oh, what love. What mercy. In verse 6, he said, and if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's one or the other. God saved the people or he didn't. He's sovereign or he's not. He rules all things or he rules nothing. It's by grace or works. Now, Paul, after declaring salvations of the Lord, that's what he's telling us. By grace and through faith. The apostle shows us the flip side of the coin. He gave us that in the first 6 verses. Now he's going to show us the after effects, the downside. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. What was it that physical Israel was seeking? What was they looking after? The same thing that every religious person is seeking, and the same thing that every heathen is seeking. Whether they know it or not, whether they admit it or not, they're looking for righteousness. They're looking for righteousness. In all of organized religion, they're all seeking to be righteous before their gods, lowercase g. Something they've whittled out of wood, something they've made out of their heart. And every person that denies God exists. I started to spend some time looking that up. There's agnostics and atheists and 15 different things that mean about the same thing. And I didn't want to take time out of my day to look that up. People say, hey, no God or whatever nonsense they have. They are seeking glory and honor and praise and the feeling of being right. They're seeking righteousness before men. Not a lowercase God they've made up in their minds, but they're seeking to be right before men. They'll sit down and argue with you. They want to be right. Someone said before, you can't be mad at someone you don't believe exists. That's false. They still believe in a God. Those people that deny God exists, they believe in a God, but it's a God of their imagination. It's man. The same as those that assemble in a building every Sunday morning throughout this nation, throughout this world. They get together, they go through the form and fashion of religion, and it's something that they've created in their heads. The Lord's let them go and let them to their own imaginations. It's a God that gives honor to man, whether that's underneath a steeple or if that's out in a duck blind. It gives honor to man. By our natural birth in Adam, we desire, we seek being right. I like being right. You like being right? I always want to be right, no? But it's not just being correct. That's a desire we have burned inside of us. It gets power, isn't it? To be right. Being just, being honored. Look at me, I picked right, I knew right, I knew best. But we seek those things amiss. We look at doing. And in our darkness, we do not see that the righteousness that the Lord accepts, the only righteousness he accepts, is Christ's righteousness. That's all the God will have. He said, in my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He's the only one in whom he's pleased. Look over in Romans 9, just a page there in verse 31. Now Paul says in our text, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What was he looking for? Romans 9, 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They haven't risen up to righteousness. They sought and they tried to be right. Be just before God. They tried to be honored. But it says they hath not attained it. Hit and a miss. He didn't get there. But Paul said back in our text that the election hath obtained it. Who's that? Look in verse 30. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, why did the Gentiles have righteousness counted to them? Why was it imputed to them? They didn't follow that law. And the Jews, they followed the law. And they didn't get righteousness through it. The Gentiles that are made righteous were saved the same way as every believer has been throughout time. From the first man to the last one he saves, every saint saved the same way, by the faith of Christ. They were given saving faith, that gift of God. The only place we can get it. The Jews, the religionists of that day, and the religionists of this day, they seek after righteousness by doing. By doing. And not by what Christ has already accomplished. It says done. That's our gospel. Not do, done. You celebrate when the work's over. You say, you want your cold drink? I'll drink whatever I get through work. I've got to cut the rest of this grass and I'll get me a big old glass of ice water and set in the shade. Work ain't over yet. Can't rest. Gospel of Christ is done. It's finished. Rest. Look there in verse 32. Why didn't they get it? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at Christ. I got to get my own righteousness. I got to get holier. I got to get sanctified. Christ is the Lord our righteousness. What am I supposed to do? Looks like you're stumbling at Him. And they did it unto death. They did it forever. Why did they stumble on that rock of offense? They didn't see Him. They were not given sight. They were blind. They had no light given to them. You ever walk through a room at night with lights turned off? Somebody moves something, you're going to stub your toe, ain't you? You don't have any light. You can't see. Back in our text of Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. That word obtained doesn't mean we detained it. Doesn't mean we went and captured it. It doesn't mean we retained it. Somebody gave it to us and now it's our job to hold on to it. But obtain, that means they had it revealed to them in an obvious way. It was given to them. Now we'll see there in verse 8, that parentheses from according down to here. So we can take that out and read. We'll look at it here in a minute. You could read that, remove that without doing harm to the text. So it says, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded unto this day. Nothing has changed unto this day. And as long as the Lord sustains this world, nothing will change until that day. It'll be the same. That's the only two types of people on earth. Those that have Christ revealed to them. It's been made obvious to them. They've obtained it. They cling to it desperately. Won't let go of Him. And those that have not. Christ and Adam. That's the only two men that the Lord's going to judge everybody under. You'll either be of the seed of Adam, the first Adam, or you'll be the seed of the second Adam. Christ our Lord. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:27, said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whosoever the Son will reveal him. How can I get this knowledge? God's got to reveal it to you. It's got to be a work in the heart. He has to give you eyes to see. He has to give you His light. Those that obtain, those that receive this faith, those are given eyes to see Christ. They're given the light of His grace. The light of the Lord's grace. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. This work of electing a people in Christ, setting them apart, keeping them forever. That good news of Christ saving sinners. It's from the beginning of the Scriptures to the end of the Scriptures. Throughout this book, whether we see it or not, whether the Lord reveals it to it or not, that's to Him. But that's the message of this book from start to finish. Look here in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God moved. And then he said, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be knowledge. Let there be wisdom. Let there be understanding. Let there be Christ dwelling in you. And there he was. He spoke it. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. On the very first day of creation, the very first day this world existed, God declared that salvation is a work of his hand, and Christ the light. It's all in him. That's what happens in a sinner's heart. We are darkness. That's on our face. That's on our hearts. We're without the Lord. We reflect darkness because that's all that's around us. We cannot illuminate ourselves. And then the Lord moves on us. His word commands life in the heart of his child. That life is Christ in us. That's the light he speaks into us. And it separates his chosen people for himself. He takes the light to one side and the darkness to the other. He divides it. He declares what they are. He imputes light to them. He sees the light he gave us. He sees Christ in us. And when he sees the work of his hand and who it is, our righteousness is, he said, it is good. That's how people are saved. The Lord has to do a work in them. I want you to see that first. We're going to look over and Isaiah chapter 6. This is what Paul's quoting in our text tonight. Isaiah 6. Chapter 6 is where Isaiah had Christ revealed in his heart. He begins writing saying, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord exalted. And he said, I saw these angels worshiping him. And he saw the power of the Lord. And then in verse 5, Isaiah 6, 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was given light to see the Lord. A work was done in him. The Lord moved on him. The Lord spoke to him. Light reveals what's hid in darkness. What does the light reveal to us? Lord sends a spirit to us. He reveals sin in us, don't he? Convicts us of sin. He reveals righteousness to us. It ain't mine. I can't obtain it by that law. It's got to be Christ. Christ is our righteousness. And he reveals judgment to us. That light reveals judgment. All that death and condemnation I deserved for eternity has been satisfied. Judgment's been settled. Everything's accomplished. That's what Isaiah experienced. Lord taught him that. And then he speaks to him in verse 8, Isaiah 6, 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The Lord said, who's going to preach this, what I just showed you? He goes, I'll tell them. He said, good. Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. That word is greasy and gross. It means there's no life in it. Make their heart have no love in it. No longing to serve God that loves them. And make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. How can I make y'all's ears heavy and shut your eyes? I've preached to some people that's closed their eyes, but I've preached to a couple people that's squinted. Oh, that's rough, isn't it? I don't want to hear it. Close their eyes and close their ears. Put their hands over their ears. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. That's what happens when the gospel is preached and the Lord does not give a new heart that has life. He doesn't give new eyes to see his light. and ears that love the sound of grace. They reject it. Mankind is dead in sin. Come to Christ that you may live. No! Close your eyes. Think of something else. Salvation's of the Lord. Christ is the Lord of our righteousness. No! I don't want to hear it. Give me something to do. When Christ the light's preached, darkness can't stand it, and it covers its ears and it shuts its eyes. Our Lord told us that in John 3:19. He said, "This is the condemnation, that light come into the world. Christ, God, come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." Have no desire for it. I can take it or leave it. There ain't no in between. There ain't no fence straddlers. You're either for Christ or against Him. So, I don't want to get into it. You just did. You're against Him. You're for Him or against Him. You either shut your eyes, plug your ears up, love that stony, cold, dead heart you had by nature from Adam, and walk away, or He breaks it. He opens your eyes and He opens your ears. Makes you look to Him. Our old man loves darkness. I've had a lot of people tell me, they say, "Well, if I believe what you believe, I'd do whatever I wanted." Exactly. Isn't that revealing? People stood there and I said, "What you're telling me is," let me get this right. I repeat it back to them, right? Ask Paul's call. Teach that. Repeat it back to them. Let me hear what you just said. You're telling me your true desire is to sin, to break the law, and to seek your own glory. Everything be okay because you got to break the law and you got to sin. Well, no, I didn't say that. It's exactly what you said. I'd live any way I wanted. A born-again child of God, someone that the Lord's done a work in their heart, they don't want to sin. They don't want to bring reproach on the gospel. Then they want the Lord to have all the glory. I don't want somebody patting me on the back for that. The Lord did it. He saved me. But that candle in us, that light, is given and it's directed by God Almighty, not me and you. He gives it. He directs it. If the Lord sent me to preach, and everyone that I preach to, they love to cover their ears. And every person I ever spoke to, they close their eyes. And they just trusted that stony heart they had. They liked it. How long should I keep preaching to them? Look here in verse 11. That's what Isaiah asked. Isaiah 6:11. "Then said I, Lord, how long? How long do I got to preach to these people?" And He answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." If I do not see the Lord working, but He sent me to preach, faithfully He's been gracious. I've seen the Lord's hand moving here, and I'm thankful for it. He knows I need encouragement. But if He were to send me, He sent me, He empowered me, and I never saw Him accomplish what I think I ought to be seeing Him accomplish. I'm to preach man's ruin, Christ's redemption, and the Holy Spirit's regeneration until everybody I talk to dies or I die. That's what He sent us to do. If as a preacher I don't see the Lord working, it doesn't matter. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? The will of man, the experience of man, the faults of man, the seeking of man, the security of man, it does not affect the will, the thoughts of salvation, nor the perseverance of God's people. He does. The Lord told Isaiah, He said, "You preach even if everyone you talk to is turned from you, every house is empty, and there's a great forsaking in the land. You just go preach." Then in verse 13, "But yet in it shall be a tenth." Now that's not, everybody I preach to, 10%, the Lord's going to save. No, it's a remnant. There's going to be a portion, a small portion. "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them," not outside of them, "whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." God has reserved to Himself a remnant And in that remnant, they're His because Christ, the incorruptible seed, is put in them. The substance is in them. Now back to our text, Romans 11. Look at verse 7 again. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Many people read that and they say, that's not fair. I'm not darkness. I thought that horrible song. I said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And your light? Oh, it's more than little. It's gone. There ain't one there. The Lord has to give that light. Do you know why in the Scriptures the Lord say that man's wicked? Do you know why the Scriptures say that our thoughts are only evil continually? Do you know why the Lord says that we drink sin and iniquity like water? It's because by nature we do. That's why I said it. That's what we are, regardless if we think so or not. I don't think I'm that bad. The Lord said you are. Every one of us are. And thinking we're not sin. For a man or woman to say, well, I'm not that bad, in and of itself, that's proof for nothing but sin. That's defying the Lord's word. Paul wrote us in Romans 9:18, so therefore he will have mercy on whom will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me. He declared that. He said, here's what you're going to say. Why do you yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Well, if the Lord's sovereign over all things, who can resist his will? Nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? And then he tells us about the potter and the clay. Our only objection to that is if the Lord hasn't given us the light to see, we ain't nothing but clay. We're red dirt. We're Adam. It's what we are by birth. Now, verse 9, Romans 11, 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Now, it'll help us if we see what Paul's quoting here. Let's turn over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Be in verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare. What's that? The law. Point us to Christ, be our schoolmaster. And that which should be have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You'll get tangled up in it. Let their eyes be darkened. He's saying that's what they want. Let them have it. They want darkness. They love darkness more than life. Let them go. That they see not and make their loins continually to shake. Now, King David is being pretty strong here, wouldn't you say? Most people say, that's not nice. But these words, they were penned by David. But they're the words of our King, the Lord Jesus. Our true King David. Look here in verse 21. Just before it. Psalm 69, 21. They gave unto me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Remember what gall is? It's a bitter herb. It's poison. It's poisonous. It was in that water that Israel said, Lord's poison this water, let us go into the cities and drink. Everybody had to cast the wood into the water to soak it up. It's a picture of Christ soaking up our gall. That bitter herb, that poisonous herb, the poison's sin. It's what we are. And he said, they give me gall for my meat, for my consumption. Because for his people, Christ consumed our sin. He bore it in his body on the cross. And it says, in my thirst, they give me vinegar to drink. Now, that's not white vinegar, apple cider vinegar. That's cheap, really old wine. They say it turns the vinegar. It tastes like vinegar, but that was what the servants drunk. That's what prisoners drunk. He came and was made like we are. The greatest in the kingdom became the least. He became a servant of his father, serving him perfectly to what? To accept that gall for his meat, to take our sin upon us. He had to be the servant that was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made his righteousness. What a thought. That's our Lord speaking. That's how people are saved. That's the function of it. The people that stumble at that. Christ did it all as a perfect servant of his Father, upholding his holiness and his perfect law the whole time he's on this earth, and in turn saving his people. People stumble at that. That's righteousness. He says to them in verse 22, let their table, what they feast on, let their table become a snare before them, and that which but should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You want to feast on your works underneath the law? It's a trap. You ain't going to get out of it. And let their eyes be darkened, that they may see not, and make their loins continually to shake. That's what I deserved. I deserve that table I set for myself. And everything I've learned in my life, I was thinking that this morning, the stuff I learned, technically, books I've read, it all grows dim the older I get. You learn how to play a musical instrument really well, it ain't as appealing as it used to be. You get to know it, don't you? And you learn how to do anything. It grows dim. But the longer I live, the Lord's grace, the more I learn of it, it grows. It's magnified more the older I get. That's the only thing I've ever experienced. Charity faileth not. His love for his people. Love grows, doesn't it? We who once slept, we had our eyes closed, we had our ears covered, and God, the Holy Spirit, quickened us. He gave us a new heart to see our sin, to see Christ as our righteousness, and to know that all of our deserved judgment's been removed, been consumed as meat by our Savior. We know that our dark nature was real, that sin was real, and I owed an eternity's worth of debt for it. But God elected a people in Christ. We had no hope under that law. It's a trap. A snare we can't get out from underneath. But God elected a people. What a blessing. He's not forsaken his people by leaving us to ourselves, to our own table. A pilgrim and I, pilgrim was I and a wandering. I got to look it up. I had it open just in case. I knew I'd get tired. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me. I was in darkness, roaming in darkness. Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I'm on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. We declare his grace. His grace is gracious. Now, if the message of salvation that is of Christ and in Christ and of Christ alone, he is our salvation, if that hurts your ears, makes you close your eyes, and it doesn't break your heart, do not feast at your own table. Don't continue to look to yourself. Ask the Lord to give you a new heart, to give you a new understanding, new eyes, and to give you light. And you will not be found wanting. You won't be in darkness anymore. Come to Him. Amen.